In a really quite remarkable interview published in today's Belfast Telegraph, the DUP MLA and former Health Minister Jim Wells speaks with surprising candour about his feeling of abandonment by the leadership of his own party. You'll remember that Mr. Wells resigned as Health Minister in April 2015 in the wake of a public controversy about his views on same-sex marriage and homosexuality. He says he was told by the then leader, Peter Robinson, that he'd been given the chance to go back to his job as Health Minister after the dust settled on that controversy. But that never happened. And he tells Claire McNeely of the Belfast Telegraph, and I quote, "I suspect they wanted rid of me, as I'm old-fashioned, traditional DUP, anti-gay marriage, anti-abortion." Jim Wells joins me now. Welcome.
William, that's a very good summary of what Claire wrote. Thank you for that, because I couldn't have said it better myself.
Do you feel betrayed by your own party?
I feel bitterly let down, William, because I went through an absolutely dreadful part of my life in 2015. Remember, I had a very ill wife, I had a very ill father, and I had other members of my family who were very ill. My career was utterly destroyed by a totally false allegation. Indeed, a lady was given a 3-month prison sentence for that allegation. And I was given a promise that there was a crucial election coming up in 2 weeks. Step aside, let the dust settle, and then come back after a suitable period, vindicate it. That promise was made. I asked on 3 occasions for it to be honoured, twice in writing and then once at a meeting. The 2 written requests were totally ignored. I never got a response. And the 3rd time, Nigel Dodds told me it's not going to happen. I do feel very, very bitterly let down by what happened.
Betrayed?
Undermined, hung out to dry. I felt all sorts of emotions. And then, to cap it all, when Dorothy Gardner was convicted and did get 3 months in prison, I pleaded with the party on 6 occasions to put out a press release welcoming that. And they refused. They said it was a private matter. It was such a private matter, William, that it was broadcast on 1,802 newspapers, blogs, internet sites, TV and radio stations, including this programme. That's how private it was. And having been vindicated by the courts, the least I expected the party to do was to issue a press release supporting me, and they wouldn't.
Why not?
That's a good question. And I have struggled with that for many years. Why would they not do it? And I've come to the conclusion that I do represent a very old-fashioned, traditional DUP type individual.
Well, the DUP is quite traditional. I mean, you're opposed to same-sex marriage, so is the DUP party policy. You're opposed to abortion, so is the DUP party policy. Can't be those issues, Jim.
I would say people with my worst enemies, indeed my friends, would say I'd be quite extreme in those issues. I'm very extreme in the protection of the unborn child. I'm very extreme in protecting traditional marriage. And I get the impression that the party wants to move on to become more inclusive and more modern, and that people like myself have been in the party for 43 years. I am the longest serving MLA at Stormont, and indeed I suspect I'm the person in the DUP who's been at Stormont longer than anyone. I was a councillor for 17 years, and I suspect the party wants to move on and have a more open and modern image, and maybe people like myself just don't suit the books, as it were.
What do you think of Arlene Foster and her role in all of this?
Well, I'm disappointed, because what happened was the initial assurance was given to me by Peter Robinson, and then that passed on to Arlene.
There was a leadership change.
And the officers decided, the officers and 2 other individuals decided that it wasn't going to be honoured. My gripe is not with the party, William. The party have been wonderful to me over the
years. The ordinary membership,
the South Down Association, backbench MLEs have been absolutely superb. I have so many friends.
Well, your gripe seems to be with the party officials
and
the leadership and the
press officer and an expat, yes.
Who are they?
I'm not going to name, well, the party officers in the public domain. I'm not going to name anybody for legal reasons, but what I can tell you is it was became absolutely apparent that the fact that Dee Gardner and others had destroyed me was quite convenient, and they were not prepared to undo the damage caused to me, and I suspect I was just an embarrassment to them.
You think your own party wanted shot of you?
Yes, I do. I do, William, because everything that's happened since shows me that, particularly when the conviction, had that conviction to Dee Gardner been for, totally exonerated any other party member, our officers, the press team have been out there throwing it out to all the media, what a wonderful decision.
Maybe they just wanted to draw a line under what was a difficult controversy at the time, move on. Well, then, you're still an MLA, you've still stood for the party. I mean, why turn on the party today like this?
Well, then why did they make the promise to me that I would be vindicated by returning?
Well, Peter Robinson apparently made the
promise.
He did
it. But
then there was a leadership change.
Yes, the leadership. But I believe that that commitment was a commitment that carried forward to the next set of party officers. I do. And I wrote to them and I said to them, look, it's now my time to come back. And they didn't even have the decency to respond to my 2 letters.
Well, in one of your emails, which you remember was published because the BBC got sight of it, you actually suggested to the party that they might even consider pretending to give you the health minister job back, where they would have an understanding with you that you would turn it down, but then you would feel vindicated
in that respect.
I
made two offers. First offer was that I would return for a few months and then resign and go back to looking after my disabled wife.
That was the first one?
That was the first one. And the second one, if that wasn't possible, could at least announce that I was suitable to return as
then you've been offered the job and you'd turned it down.
Yes,
and all of that would be planned in advance. You suggested
to at least I'd have the vindication of them saying that I was a suitable candidate to return to be the ministership. And they didn't even answer that email. They answered nothing, William. This is the problem.
Why are you so angry about this?
I'm angry because my career was... Remember at the time this happened, William? I had a very disabled father, a very, very ill mother. I had other chronic health problems in my family, and my political career was in utter tatters. But I took all of that knowing that at the end of the day, I would be exonerated and vindicated when they asked me back as they'd promised to be minister. I then would have retired and gone to look after my ill family and gone off perfectly happy.
And you told them all of that?
And I told them all, and they wouldn't even respond to my communications. I was just totally ignored. And then when I had least, luckily for me, I had at least the privilege of having a court case where my name was totally vindicated and cleared. And the lady got 3 months in prison. That's how seriously the judge took it. Now, but they didn't even react to that.
Ordinarily, when we have a DUP MLA in the studio with us, we've gone through the press office and they're entirely cognizant of the fact that they will have a DUP politician on the programme. We didn't go through the press office
today. No,
you didn't.
I came to you directly.
You came to us directly.
Mm-hmm.
The press office didn't know you were going to do this interview. You're out of the loop now. Is this your last day in the DUP?
I don't know, William. I don't know.
But possibly your
last
day?
It could well be.
Why?
Well be. Because, obviously, I have disobeyed party rules. I have come to the media and I've said, I'm here. Do not contact the press office. Contact me directly. Because I want to tell the truth. And every word in Claire McNeely's article is true. And I'm telling the truth. And this could have been the last opportunity I had to clear my name. Because there was a cloud hanging over me, William. Because people were saying, why didn't he, after he was vindicated through the courts, why wasn't he ever offered the job as health minister back? Why did that happen? Is there something else out there that people need to know about? There's nothing. There's no skeletons, William. I was just simply hung out to dry. And that's the reality. And that is why when Claire came along and offered me the chance to tell my side of the story, the only opportunity I've ever had to do it, I took it and I told it as it is.
How do you feel the DUP will be reacting to what you're doing right now?
I'm sure that the party... Well, first of all, can I say to you, William, lots and lots of backbenchers and ordinary councillors have been on to me this morning and given me their total support. I've been quite shocked, actually, by how many people have been on saying, look, they knew what was going on. They knew that there was a commitment made and they knew that commitment wasn't honoured. And they've been saying, you know, hang on in there, which I intend to do, but I expect the nine people who originally caused the difficulties I'm in will take it extremely ill what I've done today.
Are you trying to suggest to us that somehow... the DUP is being controlled by a cohort of SPADs and press officers?
Yes. Yes, I am. I believe that my situation was created by SPADs and press officers and then endorsed by the leadership.
And effectively, they're running the party.
The SPADs and the press officers at that time, and I must say there's one lady press officer I want to associate myself from that because she has been extremely honest and open to me. But other press officers and SPADs have been exercised power well beyond their station in the party for many years. And they deemed that I was no longer acceptable. And the result was that a commitment that was given to me by the party leader was binned. Now, I took huge abuses, you know, William, because I did interviews about this, from thousands of people accusing me of all sorts of things, all of which were untrue, and only three of them had the decency to come back after the court case and say they were wrong. My life was absolutely in torture that period, but I was holding on to this promise that I was coming back and be vindicated. Clearly, the SPADs and the press officers decided that wasn't going to happen, and the result is I'm sitting talking to you today.
And you think that's because... you're the wrong kind of DUP.
I think I am, yes. I think I am. But I'll tell you, William, my vote in South Down increased by 54% after this. 7,800 votes. Almost 8,000 people voted for me, which tells me that my views are very much in line with traditional DUP support in South Down. And I believe in rural areas in particular, my views are very much in line with the party generally, but maybe not at headquarter level.
Have you made these concerns... have you made Arlene Foster aware of these concerns?
William,
is she reading about this in the Belfast Telegraph today for the first time?
Several Lever Arts files of written material, because I felt it was very important to keep written material. I can produce several Lever Arts files of material where I have written to the party expressing my deep concerns about how I have been treated everything's in writing in case it comes to anything more than this. And what annoyed me not so much is they disagreed with what I said. In many cases, they just totally ignored me. They didn't even answer. Even if it was copied to seven officers, they ignored me. And I was feeling very aggrieved about that. Remember, William, 43 years service I've given the DUP. 24 years at Stormont, 17 years as a councillor. The longest serving MLA in the party's history, the longest serving MLA at Stormont. I believe I deserve better, and I didn't get it.
Have any of the MPs supported you?
No. Some were just too busy. Some just told me. Some more recently have been more friendly. But no, I got no support from MPs. And William, in the 6 months after my demise as health minister, it was noticeable how few of the leading members of the party picked up the phone, even to ask about Grace's health, never name about my position. Because I reached the lowest of my life mentally as a result of these four knocks that I received in such a short period. I came back one night from Londonderry. I made the mistake of driving home on my own. I came back to the Castle Dawson roundabout, and I have never, ever reached this low point in my life, because my family, health-wise, was in desperate situation. My career was in tatters, and I knew I had not done what I was accused of, but I could not convince the party leadership of that. And I never have. I never seem to have convinced them of it, ever.
Jim, you're very angry.
I'm very angry, William.
I can understand. I can tell you're very upset.
What I'm saying to you, William, everything I'm telling you is true, and everything in Claire McNeely's article is true, and I had the one golden opportunity to tell the truth and to completely clear my name, and I have taken it, and I'm quite happy to take the consequences for doing that.
Consequences?
I don't know what the consequences are, William. I'm sure they'll be severe, but I'm doing it with a light heart because I've done the right thing, I've cleared my name, and I've told people, because people now know why I didn't return as health minister.
Let's be clear. You're on the radio live,
yes,
rubbishing your own party.
No. William, make it clear. I still support party policy. I still think the DUP is the best party to get Northern Ireland out of its present difficulties, particularly the Brexit negotiations. And I still believe the DUP, the vast majority of them are decent people who have stood behind me through thick and thin. Associations have invited me to dinners, to breakfasts, to conferences, left, right and centre. My gripe is only with nine people, not the party.
So your beef is particularly with party officials, yes, with the press officers, some of them, and with SPAS.
Yes, absolutely. I think the SPAS became far too powerful. The press officer exercised enormous control over the party and got far too big for their boots and made many attempts to stop me clearing my name. After the transcript of the presentation at Downpatrick became available,
yeah,
Noel McAdam immediately spotted that what was being told about me was totally untrue. That's Noel McAdam from the Belfast Telegraph. He asked me to do an interview to clear my name. The party refused access to Noel McAdam to do that. Then he made five further requests to interview me, and each of those were refused.
Incidentally, we've asked the DUP if they'd like to comment on what you're saying today. Of course, we've been in touch with them, and if they do have a comment, we'll bring it to you.
Well, all I can ask them, William, is show me the statement issued after the court case welcoming the decision to clear my name. Show me it, because it doesn't exist.
Why are you still in the DUP, Jim?
Because, as I said earlier, I still believe the DUP is the best way forward. I'm an old-fashioned, traditional DUP person, maybe from the Paisley camp, and I still believe that the party's policies are basically sound. I think Arlene Foster's played an absolute blinder when it comes to the Brexit negotiations. I'm 100% behind her. I believe she's absolutely right in her stance on the Irish Language Act and so many other issues. The party is the only show in town as far as unions are concerned at Westminster and in the Assembly, and if this country is going to get out of the difficulties it's in, the only party can do it is the DUP. So I have no problem with DUP policy. My only problem is how a small number of people have treated me, Jim Wells.
Yeah, Arlene Foster has never spoken to you about this.
I don't believe Arlene has ever spoken to me about this. No, Arlene Foster hasn't spoken to me very often since this happened on anything. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. No, I don't believe Arlene has ever spoken to me. Not one senior party official, when they saw me going through the crisis in my life, had the decency to pick up the phone and said, "How are you?" Not one of them.
And you lose your job, and you're going through this terrible situation with your wife, with Grace, multiple strokes, a terrible situation. Everybody has sympathy for you and for Grace in that. You go through all of that, you're saying the party leader at no point talked to you.
Not that I'm aware of. I'm going through my head here trying to think, did she? I don't want to exaggerate the situation. But what was noticeable that certain MPs who had been at my wedding, who had been very friendly with me, did not speak to me for months afterwards, after that dreadful situation in Dunpatrick, and didn't even speak to me after I was vindicated in the courts. I find that absolutely unforgivable. But William, in contrast to that, were hundreds and hundreds of DUP supporters contact me, wishing me the best and congratulating me on the court decision. So they were not indicative of the DUP as a whole, not indicative at all.
And yet when I ask you if you feel betrayed, you're careful not to use that word.
William, I feel I've been fed to the crocodiles. I feel I've been hung out to dry, but not by the party as a whole, but by certain individuals who are led by certain spads and press officers.
I'll just repeat, we have been in touch with the DUP. We have no response as yet from the DUP, but I'm sure some of them are listening.
Oh, I'm sure they are, William.
I'm sure some of the press officers are listening.
Yes, and I want them to account for what they did to me 3 years ago, when they basically, they encouraged me to resign, they promised me vindication, and it never happened. And I want them to answer, why did that never happen?
I'm sure they have another side to that
story. I'm sure they have. Well, let's let them come forward.
Yet.
And let them show me the press releases supporting me during all of this crisis. Where are they? Your people can trawl through them. They didn't occur. They're not there. They're not there.
What do you say to the party leaders listening?
Well, I'm saying...
Nigel in Westminster to Ian.
I am saying I'm very disappointed. I'm still a very faithful party member and will support the party because it's the only show in town and they're doing the right thing for Northern Ireland. But I've hung on and hung on waiting for vindication for 3 years. It never was going to happen. Claire McNeely gave me a golden opportunity, Journalist of the Year, to put my case, and I've done it truthfully.
Are you likely to be replaced as an MLA? If we ever have an assembly.
Well, the association, I believe, won't replace me, but I think there's every likelihood the party would try to replace me, yes.
Deselect you?
Yes, I think that could well happen. It could well happen, yes.
Would you stand as an independent in
I don't
situation?
Know yet, William. I don't know. I have huge problems with my home life at the moment, and it might be very difficult to stand as an independent. Very difficult.
The party got you elected, didn't it? You owe your political career to the DUP.
I do, and I'm probably the longest serving person in the party at the moment. 43 years is a very long time to be in the party, and I worked very hard for the party, and I was in the party when life was very difficult and you got the door slammed in your face and you got chased out of people's driveways. The party wasn't always popular. I remember the dark old days when it was a bit of a slur on your character being the DUP, and that's changed, thank goodness, but that counts for nothing.
Jim Wells, thank you very much.